The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "Stop judging, that you may not be judged. For as you judge, so will you be judged, and the measure with which you measure will be measured out to you. Why do you notice the splinter in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the wooden beam in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove that splinter from your eye,' while the wooden beam is in your eye? You hypocrite, remove the wooden beam from your eye first. Then you will see clearly to remove the splinter from your brother's eye." The Gospel of the Lord. There's a lot going on in this little passage, and we're likely to take it in our own particular way, with our own, say, context, circumstance, and situations that we find ourselves in today, right? Because we want to walk away from here and say, "Oh yeah, Jesus says don't judge, so I'm not gonna judge." Wrong. It's not what Jesus says. It's not what Jesus says. Right? Take the whole of this passage. Oh, you don't like it, right? That we judge, right? We're judging animals, right? We're in fact made to discern. We're made to cooperate with God. How can it be that we're made to cooperate with God if we can't judge? Could you judge what's right and wrong? I hope so. Can we judge what, between good and evil? We have to. And the world is totally upside down. So, I mean, if we have any chance of making it through, we better hope that Jesus can guide us in our thoughts and actions. No, he doesn't say it's not that easy. Do you know what it is? This is the issue. Okay, this is it's like this gospel from this Sunday. We just try to make it too simple. Jesus is not that simple. He's just not that simple. This is a very complex little scene that we have in front of us. And we want to take, I'm not talking about here, I'm just talking about generally. This is like years of bad preaching and teaching. That we have to read this and get like a moral out of the story. This is Jesus' life, right? This is Jesus' life. It's not that simple to pull out a little moral story. We kind of go our way. We've thought of some new things, and oh, that's a nice little moral of the story. That's not what's going on. I mean, I was just, the other day, I was with a family, and the little girl had a speck in her eye. And it was very painful for me to, and I actually was telling the mother to stop, because as she was going to get the speck out, she was like pushing it deeper, and I was like, "Oh, please stop, stop trying to do that." But to realize like how intimate that scene is, how much you have to care for someone in order to try to take a speck of anything, dust, right, out of their eye, how much you have to care for that person, how much you have to be willing, in fact, to endure your own pain and squeamishness, and also endure, help, say, shoulder the other person's pain at trying to get that speck out. How close to that person you have to be, how readily you have to be able to identify what's going on. It's not easy. I don't know. If you think it's easy, try putting a speck in your eye and having someone remove it today. Okay, that's your homework. Or put a speck in someone's eye and try to remove it. No, it's a very difficult thing. And Jesus wasn't like, because we hear it and we go, "Oh yeah, speck and plank and what?" And that's right. Jesus is, I don't know if he's the first one to say it, but Jesus is saying that he's not using, like, he made speck and plank popular, right? So like now we're like, so we have to think about how delicate a work that is. And he says, in fact, that we can be about that work, but we have to remove the wooden beam from our eye first. I would say perhaps even we should be about that work. The not the stand off in the distance, rage against the machine type of work, which is like, you know, the people with the biggest plank kick up the most dust. I mean, maybe that's the issue, right? People with the biggest plank in their eye make the biggest scene, and they're blind to their own faults. And they're blind to why they even are pushing that way, advance their agenda. I'll leave this with you as well. The scribes and the Pharisees are a political pressure group. Okay, so it's like, you know, people like to talk about the hard right or the hard left or the hard whatever. I mean, there's a lot of hardness out there, right? So, but it's political pressure. I mean, things like environmentalists, right? I mean, if you don't put your cans in the right boxes, oh boy, they're coming after you, right? There isn't any number of things, and there are others that I won't touch. I won't touch them publicly. But where if you say don't line up with the orthodoxy of the day, then you are condemned. Right? So all of us here are presently being condemned by people on the outside because of our affiliation with the Catholic Church. And the Catholic Church for these people is a, what do you call it, like a hate group, right? So that's happening, whether or not you want to acknowledge it. But it's that kind of like fierce plank, stand off in the distance, condemn everybody, it doesn't do anything. And it's not to say that sin doesn't exist, it does exist. But there's a way to go about it, a way not to go about it. The care and the love that it takes to remove a splinter or speck from someone's eye, that's the work that we have to be about. Standing off in the distance and condemning everybody doesn't do anything for anybody. We have to be so close to the people that we love, having already removed the plank, which gives us, say, hearts to love and eyes to see and entire being to encounter the other. Now we can get about that work of healing, restoration, mercy, and the like. It's Jesus's work. He's guiding us and directing us and leading us to do it today. He's gathered us here to give us his strength and his power and his mercy, his forgiveness, his healing, compassion, and he's sending us out as his body to pick up his work again in the world.